Today, the meaninglessness of our inflation data. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, world's latest posts covering finance and property news. Today we've got the latest from the ABS on their inflation series, with Australia's core inflation cooling in the 3 months through to June as the closely watched trimmed mean gauge of consumer prices, which of course shaves off volatile items, advanced 0.6% in the second quarter from 3 months earlier. That's weaker than the 0.7% forecast. Statistics showed that on an annual basis, it rose 2.7%, which matched forecasts, and down from 2.9% in the first quarter. Now, recall that the RBA focuses on the core inflation because government rebates are suppressing the headline reading, muddying its view of price pressures across the economy. Further easing in the annual figure, which only slipped inside the RBA's 2 to 3% target band in the first quarter, does strengthen the case for the Reserve Bank to ease monetary policy, perhaps as early as its next meeting in August, and maybe even shifting their focus away from inflation towards supporting economic growth. Governor Michelle Bullock said last week that the Monetary Policy Board believes a measured and gradual approach to easing is appropriate in the light of the employment figures which landed last week, showing that the unemployment rate unexpectedly rose to 4.3% in June from 4.1% in the prior month, though that was in line with the RBA's May forecasts. Treasurer Jim Chalmers welcomed today's CPI news, saying, "Very welcome, new inflation numbers are a powerful demonstration of the progress Australians have made together. Quarterly and monthly headline and underlying goods and services inflation all down." And money markets regained confidence that the RBA will cut the cash rate 3 more times this year. The Australian dollar eased a little, and yields on the policy-sensitive 2-year bond extended a decline. They've priced now a cut for next month, and stocks gained. Interest rate traders are now assigning a 90% chance that the cash rate will fall 3 times by the end of the year, with financial markets fully pricing a 25 basis point move low in August and a 44% chance of a back-to-back reduction in September. Lutie Ellis, the chief economist at Westpac, said that today's data is consistent with monetary policy no longer needing to be restrictive, and she predicted a 25 basis point cut at the RBA's August 11th, 12th meeting, adding, "We suspect that today's data will come as something of relief to the RBA." Looking at the release today, the ABS said that the consumer price index rose 0.7% in the June 25 quarter and 2.1% annually, while the annual rate of inflation in the June quarter was 2.1%, down from 2.4% in the March quarter. This is the lowest annual inflation rate since the March 2021 quarter. Trimmed mean annual inflation was 2.7%, down from 2.9%, and trimmed mean annual inflation remains higher than CPI inflation of 2.1%. The main contributors of the quarterly rise was housing up 1.2%, food and non-alcoholic beverages up 1%, and health at 1.5%. It was partially offset by a fall in transport down 0.7%. Looking at the quarterly growth in housing, it was driven by electricity up 8.1%, the second instalment of both the Commonwealth Energy Bill Relief Fund and state government rebates in Perth were used up by households in the previous quarter. Rebates, of course, have the effect of reducing electricity costs for households. This has meant higher out-of-pocket electricity costs this quarter as the rebates have been used up, and we're going to see more of that ahead. Brisbane also contributed to the June quarter rise as households in Queensland continue to use up the $1,000 state government rebate. So while electricity was up over the quarter, it's still down 6.2% compared to the 12 months ago, as the rebates remain in place for most capital cities. So it's a bit of a number wang, really. The rise of 1% in food and non-alcoholic beverages was driven by fruit and vegetables up 4.3%. Strawberries, blueberries, grapes, tomatoes and cucumbers saw price rises following reduced supply, which is typical at this time of year. Health costs were up 1.5% over the quarter, driven by rising medical and hospital services up 2.3%, following the annual increase in private health insurance premiums on 1 April. The fall of 0.7% in transport was driven by automotive fuels, down 3.4%, reflecting lower global oil prices. Prices for automotive fuels have fallen in three of the past four quarters and are 10% lower compared with 12 months ago. Annually, the CPI rose 2.1%, down from 2.4% last quarter, and the main contributors to the slowing of the annual inflation rate was a large fall in automotive fuel prices, down 10%. Meanwhile, annual prices for new dwellings are up 0.7%, rents up 4.5%, and insurance up 3.9%, all continuing to slow. Food and non-alcoholic beverages annual inflation was 3% in the June quarter. Food inflation stayed elevated due to those higher prices for fruit and vegetables, up 4.6% compared to 12 months ago. Other notable price rises over the last 12 months were eggs, up 19.1%, as supply has been affected by bird flu outbreaks, and coffee, tea, and cocoa prices rose 9.4%, with lower supply from major overseas coffee bean growing areas. Annual goods inflation was 1.1% higher. That's down from 1.3% in the previous quarter. And annual services inflation was 3.3% in the June quarter, down from 3.7% in the March quarter. That is a significant drop and does reflect a slowing of wages. Actually, this is the lowest annual inflation in 3 years and continues to reflect easing inflation for rents and insurance. Now, Yarra Capital Management's head of macro and strategy, Tim Tui, said the latest inflation data could force the central bank to change its message on inflation after the July board meeting wrong-footed the market by keeping interest rates on hold. The bias that we've had from them is that, look, we don't really trust the monthly numbers so much, and the quarterly looks a bit sticky at the high end, he said, but you can't really run that story anymore. And Tui added that the RBA had run out of excuses to not lower borrowing costs after the central bank shocked markets and economists alike when it kept the cash rate unchanged. There's broader evidence in the inflation measures that supports moving quickly, he added. And Pendle bond fund manager Tim Hext said that much of the optimism over rate cuts was already reflected in market pricing. It's good news for bond markets, but they went into the numbers fully priced for cuts, he said. If the RBA really thought we were in a decent rate cutting cycle, they would not have skipped July. But my point is a bit different. It's this. The CPI measurement is pretty anodyne and does not reflect the true costs of many households, as I see in my surveys. And I would also remind you that over in the US, the Bureau of Labor Statistics collects 90,000 price quotes each month across 200 categories to calculate the US CPI. Normally, about 10% of prices are estimated when data is missing, but now around 35% are, well, frankly, made up based on assumptions, not real prices. So over there, inflation data is becoming, at best, a guesstimate. Now, I suspect there is plenty of fudge in the ABS numbers too, but this is not disclosed. There is actually a separate article on the Consumer Price Index, Australia methodology, and they say that the frequency of price collection by item varies as necessary to obtain, quote, reliable price measures. Prices for some items are volatile, meaning prices may vary many times each quarter, and for those items, frequent price observations are necessary to obtain a reliable measure of the average price for the quarter. Each month, prices are collected at regular intervals for goods such as alcohol, men's and women's clothing, project homes, motor vehicles, petrol, and holiday travel and accommodation. There are a few items where prices are changed at infrequent intervals, for example, education fees, where prices are set once a year. In those cases, the frequency of price collection is modified accordingly. To facilitate a more even spread of field collection workload, the number of items for which prices are collected quarterly is distributed roughly equally across each month of each quarter. In all cases, however, individual items are priced in the same month of each quarter. For example, items for which prices are collected in the first month of the September quarter, July, are also priced in the first month of the subsequent quarter, namely October, January and April. And the ABS uses a variety of sources to collect CPI prices, such as visiting businesses, online collection, telephone surveys and administrative data. To efficiently collect prices online, the ABS uses automated website data collection, referred to as web scraping. In the case of transaction data, revenue and quantity data are collected on a weekly basis. For most other items, price volatility is not a problem and prices are collected once a quarter. Now, compared with the US's 200, there are 87 expenditure classes, that is, groupings of like items, in the 17th series CPI, and each expenditure class has its own weight or measure of relative importance in calculating the index price changes for the various expenditure classes are combined using those weights. And changes in the weighting patterns have formally been made at approximately 6 yearly intervals to take account of changes in household spending patterns from the introduction of the 17th series CPI in December quarter 2017. The weights are now updated annually. So all up, I think this data should be regarded as, well, at least unwieldy, and perhaps worse, it could be misleading. Yet it does form the basis of RBA decisions, which of course affects us all. So perhaps no wonder that they're a little coy about their interest rate decisions based on this data. And as I've highlighted before, it is not the only series to have question marks attached to it. The unemployment series as well is a suspect one too. So I have to say that the RBA will probably cut in August, but I still think their data compass is pretty flawed. And this is because of the way that the ABS runs its show. It's underfunded. It doesn't have sufficient data at its fingertips, in my view, to make accurate assessment of much of the measures that are used by the RBA. But of course, the merry-go-round continues. So we get wobbly CPI data that feeds into wobbly RBA decisions that feeds into CPI data. Such is life in the world of statistics. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.